Good morning to all of you. Given that it's Mother's Day today, I wanted to honor all of our mothers here this morning for their service and their devotion, first to God and then to us as their children. Whether you have biological children of your own or whether the rest of us are your children by adoption or by surrogate, either way, God has truly blessed us through you. I want to thank you for that. But my lesson this morning is not about mothers, although it involves a couple very special mothers. And the story starts in Genesis chapter 12. Now, as we go through this story, I want you to try to place yourself in Abram's, which becomes Abraham's, shoes. I want you to try to place yourself in his position. We start in Genesis 12. Verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram and Sarah, as far as we know, have no children of their own yet. And God tells Abram to leave his parents, leave his family, to follow God's direction. And God promises that he will make of him a great nation. All the families of the earth will be blessed through him. So Abraham leaves all, and he sets out on a journey to the land God has promised him. But he's never seen it. He's never been there. But he sets out on the journey following God. So he comes to the land and begins his new life with the promise of being a father of a great nation. But he's growing older and older and older with no son. Now we know that he had a son by a servant, I believe it was, Eleazar, that he began to think maybe Eleazar is the one that's going to be the father of the great nations, that the great nations is going to come through. And then we know that Sarah gave him her handmaiden Hagar, and he had a son by her called Ishmael. And Abraham thought, maybe, this is the son, the promise will come through. So long a time goes by. And Abraham and Sarah are old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Abraham was 100 years old, or 99. I'm not sure which one it was, but old enough not to have children. And only then does God send three angels to Abraham and promises that Sarah will have a child, even though she is way, and he is way, beyond the age of being able to have a child. The birth was going to be clearly a miracle. It was clearly going to be a miracle so that they would know it was God and his promise. And we know that Isaac was born to them in their old age. Then after a period of time, and some places speculate that Isaac was maybe as much as 25 to 30 years old, God calls to Abraham in Genesis 22, starting in verse 2. So I want you to think about being in Abraham's position. He's had all this anxiety. Maybe it's Eleazar. Maybe it's Ishmael. Now it's Isaac. Genesis 22, verse 2. God said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham has left his country. He's left his father. He's left his mother. He's left his brothers and sisters. All because he loved God and believed God's promises. And now the question becomes, does he love God more than his own promised son that he has waited so long for? his miracle child. Will he love God enough to give Isaac? If I was in Abraham's shoes, I would be incredibly confused. God waits until Abraham is old to give him the son of the promise, and then God commands him to offer his son as a burnt offering. We are told that we must love God more than all of these. In Matthew 10:37, Jesus says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Luke 14:26-27, Christ says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Abraham's devotion was being severely tested. He'd left father, he'd left family, he'd left mother, left everything. And now the most precious thing he has is asked of him. Verse 3, Genesis 22. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took of his two young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place which God had told him." I don't know what time of day God came to him and told him he was going to have to do this, but he went through a night. But he rose up early. He was going to be to the task right away. Psalms 119:59-60 says, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." Abraham did not delay. He got up early the next morning. He didn't ask for another week. He didn't ask for another month. He didn't ask for a few more years with him, like one of the prophets did of God. And according to the Targum, which I understand is an ancient oral history written down the 3rd and 4th century, the two young men that went with him, I never had thought about this, I don't know if it's true, but the two young men that went with him were Eleazar and Ishmael. If that is true, and it's hard to tell because Ishmael was sent away, but if that is true, we see Abraham re-rehearsing all that he's been through from the beginning. Maybe I can sacrifice Eleazar. Maybe I can sacrifice Ishmael. That may have been going through his head as he left. Verses 4 and 5. "Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." You notice that Abraham said, "We'll come to you again. We'll be back in a little bit." How does he know that? How does he know Isaac will be returning if he's going to offer him up as a sacrifice, burnt offering? Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19 tell us the answer. "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Abraham was convinced in his mind, and his faith in God's promise was so strong that he knew that if he sacrificed Isaac on that altar, that Christ could raise him from the dead and give it back to him. How do you know that? Because that's how I got him in the first place. Back from the dead. Abraham and Sarah were dead with regards to having a child. He had received Isaac from the dead once, so God could raise him back to life after he offered him. So Abraham and Isaac are headed up the mountain, and Abraham is confident that God can raise him if he has to sacrifice him. Abraham figures he's going to have to sacrifice him. That's what God told me to do. Verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. So Abraham lays the wood on Isaac and has Isaac carry the wood for his own sacrifice. Verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac is following his father. He's doing what his father asked. Isaac is willing, but he's unclear as to what they're going to offer. What are they going to offer? We're obviously going to make a sacrifice. Obviously, he knew that's what Abraham and him and the other two were going there for. But what are we going to offer? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. So Abraham builds the altar. Isaac probably helped him. And he lays the wood in order. And then he binds Isaac. Now, no matter what the age Isaac is, he's not little. He's not a little child. So Abraham was not going to be able to bind him unless Isaac let him. Unless Isaac was willing to submit to his father, he would not have been bound. But he submitted. And he allowed himself to be bound and laid on the altar. By now, Isaac is getting the picture. Verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Abraham had already decided, this is what I'm going to do. Based on his faith in God's promise that he was going to carry out the command by God. To Abraham, he had already plunged the knife. Deep into his son's chest. Now all he had to do was merely swing it. Swing his arm down and kill his only son. The son of the promise. But God's timing is perfect. Perfect. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Now, do you suppose Abraham ever heard better words? Do you suppose he ever heard that name called just like that ever again and felt that same way? When he had already decided. To him, Isaac was dead. Beyond hope. Unless he was raised again. And then suddenly his son is saved. 22 and 12. The angel said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Don't hurt him. Now I know. But didn't God know already? Didn't God know ahead of time that Abraham would go all the way? Hadn't Abraham already considered Isaac offered, dead, and had decided to carry out the command? Yeah. Yeah, God knew that. But Isaac didn't. Isaac for sure didn't know it, as he lay there in wait. Genesis 22 and 13. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now what do you suppose, if you were Abraham, what do you suppose Abraham would feel, or what do you suppose you would feel if you turned and saw that ram? What do you suppose Isaac felt when he saw the ram? Ah. Whew. As Abraham cut him loose, and they bound the ram instead, and offered it. Such relief, such joy that Isaac was saved. It must have been kind of like what the prodigal son's father must have felt when he saw his son coming home. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and proclaimed that his son that was dead is alive again, was lost and is found. Let's celebrate. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Then we jump down to verse 17, and God says, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. God rehearses the promise again to Abraham and Isaac. That would be a rough 3 to 4 days. This is one of the most wonderful, amazing, important stories in the Bible. It's amazing to see Abraham's unwavering love and devotion to God, even to the point of giving up his only son. But there's something else very important and amazing about this story. Later on, this story occurs again, with almost the identical things happening. God again promises another miraculous birth. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God makes a promise. And Christ was born by a miracle, just as God has promised, so that everyone would know this was from God, just like Isaac. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So just as Isaac was promised and born of a miracle, no way, no way it could have happened by natural consequences. Christ was promised to be born of a virgin and was born by a miracle. Through Isaac, we know that he was to be a great nation. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 17, it begins to give the generations. And I'll just read the first verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. 42 generations after Abraham, we have the miraculous birth. Again, descendant of Abraham and Isaac. So finally, when the lineage got to Christ, we see that Christ was to be the king of the everlasting kingdom. According to 2 Peter 1 and 11, he will draw all men to him. That's in John 12 and 32. A spiritual kingdom. He will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16, 18. But now we come to the confusing part. God told Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God the Father also had only one son. God the Father took his only son, whom he loved, and sent him to earth to be offered. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in verse 35, the Father loveth the son and hath given all things into his hand. So the promised Messiah, that they've been waiting 42 generations, 42 generations makes Abraham's 100 years look small. The Lamb of God has come, the only Christ, the Savior. Israel is going to be redeemed by him. But then we again see God and Christ saying that the promised Son must be sacrificed. Just as God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, his promised son. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 23. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Matthew chapter 20, 17 through 19. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said to them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Jesus is telling them, just as God told Abraham, Isaac's going to have to be offered. Jesus is saying, I'm going to have to be offered. Confusion. Confusion. And we know that Abraham journeyed for 3 days. 3 days' journey to the mountain, believing that if he offered his son, that God would raise him from the dead again. Abraham's love was perfected at the end of those 3 days. So it was the third day in which Christ also was to be perfected, Luke 13:32. Christ spent 3 days in the grave. On the third day, Christ also was to be perfected. Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. While they abode in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." And they were exceeding sorry. To Abraham, Isaac had been dead 3 days. Because he had decided that when he left to go make the sacrifice, that that's what he was going to do. Abraham told Isaac, "God will provide the lamb." Well, Jesus was the lamb. Jesus was the Lamb of God. God will provide himself a lamb. John chapter 1, starting in verse 29. And this is talking about John the Baptist here. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looked upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God." Just as Abraham placed the wood on Isaac and had Isaac carry the wood up the mountain, the cross was placed on Christ's shoulders to be carried up Calvary. John 19, verses 16 and 17. "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." Isaac asked his father, "Where's the lamb? Who's going to be the lamb?" And Christ asked his father three times if he had to be offered as the lamb. Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said to them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." Isaac says, "Where's the lamb?" And Christ says, "Do I have to be the lamb?" If I have to be the lamb, I will submit. I will do it. Abraham bound Isaac onto the altar to be sacrificed. and Christ was bound as the sacrifice to the cross. Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 and 2. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And then we'll jump down to verses 27 through 36. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe from off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Abraham was willing to offer Isaac, and Isaac surrendered himself. God was willing to offer Christ, and Christ offered himself. In both cases, the Father himself offers up his only begotten Son. And the Father himself binds him on the wood to the cross. In neither case is the Son forced to yield, but yields of their own accord. In neither case is the life taken away by the hand of violence. Isaac yields himself to the knife, and Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. John 10, 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Philippians 2, 7 and 8, speaking of Christ, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Abraham went to the top of the mountain to offer Isaac, Mount Moriah. The next time that place was mentioned is in 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, when Solomon built the house of the Lord on the mountain. That very same mountain was where Solomon built that temple, in which all those animal sacrifices that had started with the ram were offered under the law of Moses. That same mount, was Mount Calvary. So even though these two events have many things in common, there's one major difference between the two. Genesis 22 and 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Abraham had the knife raised to plunge it into his son's body. And God said, Stop. But as mankind sacrificed God's only begotten Son, whom he loved, there was no call from heaven. There was no relief and joy as a ram was found to take his place. Like the knife, the hammer was raised and plunged down on the spikes. And drove them through the flesh. Of God's only Son. And God watched. God watched his only Son suffer in torment until he died. Because he loved you and me. So much. That he would not bear to see us without hope, waiting to be sacrificed for our sins. God provided himself a lamb, the Lamb of God. When we look at the crucifixion, we should hear God's message to us. My son, while you were still my enemy, I so loved you that I laid the wood on my son to carry to the mountain. I allowed nails to be driven in his hands and his feet. I allowed him to be hung on that tree to die, and I did not stop it. I gave my all. I have provided the Lamb. I have given you my only begotten Son so that you can have everlasting life. If I can look at that sacrifice and not accept the Savior, if I can see that love and ask God, what did he ever do for me? If I can see the suffering my sins caused God and Christ, and not be ready to repent and accept Christ's sacrifice and baptism, I am stone cold dead. If I know that there is sin that I'm holding on to, since I sacrificed, or accepted his sacrifice, and I came this morning to remember Christ's love for me and his offering himself as a sacrifice for me, and I still don't want to repent of my sin, then my soul and my spirit is stone cold dead. God doesn't want that to be true of anyone. God has provided for himself a sacrifice of love. It makes God furious when we reject the sacrifice that He did not stop, so that ours could be stopped. It makes God weep for our loss. If we are willing to give all, like Abraham, God has provided the lamb. He begs you, we beg you, not to leave here with a soul and a spirit that is stone cold dead. Turn to Him, and He will welcome you back from the dead. He then can say, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." He invites you to let him make you alive again, a new man, pure and clean, walking in a new life, because He provided the Lamb. The invitation is yours as we stand and sing.